Please join me in the call to worship. The power of dreams lies in waking up, for when we close our eyes, we can see a better world. When we close our eyes, we can dream a better dream. But when we open our eyes, we begin the work of faith. The power of worship is the same. When we enter this space, we can see a better world. When we enter this space, we dream a better dream. But when we leave this space, we begin the work of faith. So come in, dream your dreams, find hope here. For when we leave, we will begin the work of faith. Let it be so.
Good morning. The first week of Advent, we lit the first candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope. As we relight it today, we are again reminded that hope is a very thing that keeps our dreams afloat. The light of this first candle is an invitation to keep awake, to be Advent people filled with hope we know in Jesus Christ. I invite you now to stand, if you may, to be able to sing hymn number 20, Watchmen Tell Us of the Night.
You may be seated. Let us now pray together the prayer of confession as printed in the bulletin. O great writer, with a sky full of stars and a world full of flowers, there should be no end to our joy. And yet, instead of decorating ourselves with joy, we let it slip away like loose change. Instead of singing like Mary, or dancing like David, we pass by remarkable beauty and love most days unfazed. Forgive us, teach us the ways of children who laugh and dance and sing as if joy is the very thing that keeps them alive. Maybe they have joy figured out. Gratefully we pray. Amen. Hear us now, O God, as we silently confess our sins. Amen. The prophets of old have declared, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
The second week of Advent, we lit the second candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of peace. As we relight it today, we are again reminded that there is another way. The light of the second candle is an invitation to prepare the way for the greater peace we know in Christ Jesus. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those worshiping nearby.
Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. I'm Lou Pennebaker, Director of Christian Education, and it's my pleasure to welcome you on this, the third Sunday of Advent. We are glad to have you with us, and we are glad to have Pastor Renee with us as well. She had surgery this week and is on her way to healing and recovery. This morning, after worship, we invite everyone to join us through these doors in Fellowship Hall for our coffee fellowship time. In addition to that, today we have an Advent celebration. We will be having an all-church cookie exchange and cider. You might have smelled the cider when you came in today. It's filling the social hall with wonderful smells. And there is already a table full of cookies that you have brought. There are to-go containers that you may package with cookies to take home and enjoy. Or better yet, we have invitations that you can tie to your cookie box and give to a friend, a neighbor, or a coworker, and invite them to join us here for Christmas Eve worship service on December 24th. And we hope all of you will join us here as well. We ask that you take a minute this morning to please fill out the pad that you will find somewhere in your pew to record your attendance with us. If you are a regular attender and we have all your information, simply just write your name to note that you are with us this morning. If you are visiting or new and would like to be in contact with us, please fill out your information and we would be happy to be in conversation with you. This morning in Fellowship Hall, we also have offering envelopes available. If you requested those for your weekly or monthly offerings for the next year, they are in Fellowship Hall waiting for you, and please check your name off the list that is there so we know that you picked them up. This coming week, we have Heart to Heart, which is our women's ministry. This month, we are doing something a little special. We're focusing on the heart of Christmas. All women are invited to join us. That is Thursday, December 19th at 12:30. We meet in the fireside room. And we invite all who are joining us that are able to please bring a finger food to share. And come prepared to share with those around your table about your favorite Christmas memory, a Christmas tradition, or a Christmas story that you would like to share. Next Sunday, we will be having another Advent celebration following worship. We will be celebrating the birthday of Jesus that we look forward to on Christmas with cake and candles. So join us for coffee fellowship and come have a piece of cake in celebration of the birthday of Jesus. One last announcement. Bob Kraut asked me to share with you. Those of you that are involved or interested in being involved with the San Leandro Warming Center, the start has been postponed by a little bit, but Bob is coordinating our efforts. If you're interested in being involved with that, please talk to him. And when we have a confirmed date for the beginning of that, we will let you know. With that, let us continue in worship with scripture read by Melissa Seaton.
O great writer, with a sky full of stars and a world full of flowers, there should be no end to our joy. And yet, instead of decorating ourselves with joy, we let it slip away like loose change. Instead of singing like Mary or dancing like David, we pass by remarkable beauty and love most days, unfazed. Forgive us. Teach us the ways of children who laugh and dance and sing as if joy is the very thing that keeps them alive. Maybe they have joy figured out. Gratefully we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and then 8 through 11. It begins on page 1157 in your pew Bible. Let us hear the word of God. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May God bless it to our understanding.
This is the third week of Advent. And so now we light the third candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of joy. This candle reminds us that God's dream for this world includes the end of all tears and sadness, and instead, an overflowing, contagious joy. The light of this third candle is an invitation to sing, to dance, to laugh, and to sow throughout this hurting world the joy we know in Christ Jesus.
Rise up, shepherds and follow.
It will lead to the place where the Savior is born.
Rise up, shepherds. Thank you, choir, for a rousing anthem to get our spirits ready for a message about joy. So first of all, I want to thank you for all of your thoughts and prayers this week as I had surgery on my wrist on Thursday. A special thanks to Kathy Pearson, who kind of walked with me through that surgery, and to Lou and the staff, covering all the staff things. And I know a lot of you are covering things I did not even think about, so thank you. You are also very good cooks. I have some very tasty food, and my cousin Marie, who's here, she's also a Presbyterian elder. She's one of us, so... We laughed last night. We ate food, and she goes, "Oh, this is so great! I'm cooking. I'm eating something somebody else cooked." So it was. And there's still plenty of food. So thank you all so much. So as we move into our third week, we are looking at a fairly famous text in the Bible. Mary's what is called the Magnificat. Luke chapter 1, verses 45 to 55, and that can be found on page 1589 in your pew Bibles. This ends with a line from Elizabeth, and then Mary will speak. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. With the lighting of the third Advent candle just now by Sharon, we are halfway to Christmas. This is called Gaudete Sunday, Gaudete meaning joy, the joy that Mary feels as she expresses it in this scripture that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke, acknowledging opportunity to meet her cousin Elizabeth and acknowledging that journey that she is on with this birth of her child. And truth be told, it's not always easy to find joy in the midst of this season leading to Christmas. I'm old enough and experienced enough to remember Christmases that were less than joyful. The year following my divorce, when I felt like I belonged nowhere, or when loved ones had died and we'd gather with one person less at holiday time. Or even this year when I managed to break my wrist and need surgery in the middle of Advent season. Was not what I had planned, let's just say. We each experience holiday seasons, do we not, when it's a little bit harder to rejoice. We might this year feel a tad cynical about the world as the social media gives us onslaughts of the powerful taking more than their share, or perhaps we are experiencing in our own lives friends that we thought we could count on who haven't been able to be there for us, or family that we thought were our safe place or less so. For some of us in the room this year, someone will be missing from our holiday get-togethers, or we're coping with a new normal about how life has changed and we're not feeling good. Maybe it's clear that our previous holiday expectations are not going to get met. Or maybe we're worried about the future. Maybe we're grieving the loss of someone or something so big in our lives. Or if, remember how Facebook does that little video of your 2024 year? You can have a video and you realize it was not a very good year if you take a look at that. And we talk about, you know, we frame it. We say, well, it's the new normal. And I think what we really mean by that phrase is it's not really normal at all. This is not new. This is not new at all, is it? When Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth in the Gospel of Luke, she's feeling scared and lost amid this huge new normal that had been announced to her. For her and for the world, things were not going to be normal at all. And it is in this encounter between Elizabeth and Mary that Mary begins to see the larger arc of her story. She was reminded about the promises God had filled with her life at that point. The promise had been made to her by her parents at birth, the promise of her family that had kept her safe and clothed, how she'd been taught how to live according to God, the promises of God that she and her family would have a way of life and be able to organize themselves without influence of great powers. No matter who is in charge on earth, one thing was clear. God was in charge of all of that and more too. The God of grace and mercy, peace and joy and love was about to do something very different. And so Mary's words today, Mary's words contained in this magnificent Magnificat come to us. They come across to us crossing a language barrier, the space and the time of 2,000 years. And if there was a more important time to hear these kind of words, I don't know what it would be. Hang on every word, hang on every sentence, every turn of phrase, because this is a sermon for us today. This is a sermon for now. Mary's song is your sermon and my sermon. And we can take any line, I think, of that Magnificat and focus on it and find a truth in it for ourselves and for our world. Maybe the phrase that we need to hear today is at the beginning, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. You know, in a time when those at the bottom seem to be given more in shame by those who have too much wealth and power, the word of God comes and looks at this quite differently. The message of God is that he is with the lowly. Those are the ones who are with favor. And what might the world look like when, if we are low ourselves, that we remind ourselves how beloved we are and that we do it for our own friends that are as low as well. I wonder what the world would look like if we treated the immigrants, the dreamers, the single mothers raising children in difficult circumstances with the favor that God intends. What about the students who are struggling to pay increasing tuitions, even at our state universities, or the retail workers who hope for more hours to pay rent and food? What kind of joy would it bring to them and to ourselves to treat them with God's favor? Or maybe the phrase we need to hear is, he has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. I was on a message board the other day, and one poster was railing against some folks who did not feel, let's say, an excessive amount of compassion about the CEO of the health insurance company who had been murdered, you know, right on the street in New York City. Why, the poster said, why wouldn't people be taking the side of this man, this poor man gunned down in death? And here's what I said. First of all, that violence is never justified. That was a vigilante justice. That's not the way we want things to be handled in our world. But we have to also remember that Jesus was always on the side of the poor. You know, it's pretty clear that in this text, And in many other texts, Jesus is not on the side of the rich. When Jesus encounters rich people, they do not get killed. But what does he do? Anybody got a guess? What does Jesus do when he talks to rich people? He basically asks them to give away their money. Yeah, it's not violent. It's basically, you got too much. You should be giving it away to people who need it. Yeah. So it should come as no surprise here in this text that the gospel writer is concerned with the poor, just as those Old Testament prophets were. The rich in that time, much as the super rich in our own time of inequality, frequently became rich by taking things from other people. And the good things for the hungry would surely include food, but perhaps other good things. A job to live on, the security of a safe apartment to live in, the opportunity for one's children to get a good education, the retiree who could count on their pennies to cover their basic expenses and that they would be getting their Social Security and Medicare they earned to make ends meet. What kind of joy, I wonder, would it bring to these and ourselves to meet these kinds of needs in our community and advocate for enough for all? Wouldn't this be good news to rejoice with? Now, finally, maybe we need to hear these words. He's helped to serve in Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. So this season of Advent can hold many themes. But this witness today of Mary reminds us that in addition to all the others, Advent is about the promise of God's mercy and the resulting joy. There we are, the remembrance of God's mercy. God's mercy for you and for me, for those we love and those who our hearts break for. Can we recall what that feels like? To feel that mercy for others, to extend that mercy. And even if we can't, God does. God does. There's the promise. Thank you, Mary. Now, our Old Testament text taken from the prophet Isaiah has a similar theme of flipping things upside down in the culture, that the people who have not had enough will have more than they need. And it is a prayer for all of humanity. It is not limited in this Isaiah text. By this point in the history of the people of God and the history of the Bible, God's mercy is not just now for the Hebrew people, which was the original set of covenant promises. Now this extended out to all of the nations. It says in verse 11, "For the soil that makes the sprout come up and a garden that causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations." So that means everybody. God's joy is for all of humanity and not just the Hebrews. And coming to Christmas then means lifting up our eyes from what is immediately here to the whole of creation. Coming to Christmas means lifting our vision from what has been and what can be to a future in which God's presence bursts out like trees budding in the spring. It means embracing the transformation of creation, and that transformation begins by believing the possibility of our transformation. So these two songs today, Mary's song and Isaiah's song, ask us to stop and see that God is at work here and now amid the challenges of power and hate that seek to overwhelm good. And so the question for us as people of faith is, will we join in the healing work of God that seeks this alternative vision for the world and then discover along the way the joy that God brings into our lives as we participate in it? The word is, the world looks for joy right now. It's in desperate need of it. Now, I ran across a image and a practice this week that I think might be helpful as we're beginning to do that. And it's called glimmers. Has anybody else heard of glimmers? It was new to me. Okay, it's new to all of us. And so, you know, again, we are in a point in our culture where people tend to be on edge, easily triggered. And the way we can fight our own challenge of that is to slow down and to begin to notice glimmers. And so the glimmers, talk about what that is. It was introduced by a social worker, Deb Dana, as part of a particular psychological theory. And what they are is a micro moment of joy that make us feel happy, hopeful, and safe. They're moments of joy that gift us with a shift out of the mundane and into a calmer and more open space. So an example of a glimmer might be noticing the color of a sunset, or the laughter of a child, or an unexpected kindness. This morning, as my cousin and I were driving across, she was driving, I was riding across the bridge this morning, as we go up the hump on the western side of San Mateo Bridge, and then you go down, all of a sudden you get this view of the bay, and she went, "Oh." And I said, "I know. Every time I come to church, I get the, ooh." So I realized, oh my gosh, I've been having a glimmer every day I come to church, and I hadn't even had that framework for thinking about it. Glimmers are a great counterpoint to triggers. And pausing to savor glimmers and sharing them increases their uplifting and balancing influence on our entire being. So a glimmer could be old and known and comfortable, or they can be unknown and filled with possibility. And so Advent invites us to welcome the unknown glimmers. And so if we're wearied or troubled or overwhelmed or sad, then that feels like an unwelcome intruder. And so whether we're in a state of welcome, ambivalence, or resistance to the glimmer we notice this Advent season, we can name and accept what is true in this moment and state what we hope for ourselves as the moment unfolds. So, friends, I invite you to pay attention. Be on the lookout for glimmers and receive them as they are friends, even if just for a moment. So, friends, I say rejoice. Can you say it with me? Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let's say it again. Rejoice.
Rejoice.
Let us rejoice, and let us now stand and sing Good Friends. Good Christians, friends, let us rejoice. Hymn number 28.
Thank you.
Everyone, please be seated. As clerk of session, it is an honor for me to ordain and install the officers of our church, beginning their terms of service in January 2025. I invite the following elders-elect to come forward. Bill Gile, Linda Maureen, Sherry Plunkett, and Donald Pollard. And the deacons-elect, Gigi McLeod, Lynn Roman, Sheila Warbassy, Suzanne Yee, and Maria Carter. And I think we're aware that Maria's had a family responsibility and is unable to attend today. But we keep Maria in our prayers. We are all called into the Church of Jesus Christ by baptism and marked as Christ's own by the Holy Spirit. This is our common calling, to be disciples of Jesus Christ and servants of our servant Lord. Within the community of the church, some are called to particular service as deacons, as ruling elders, and as ministers of word and sacrament. Ordination is Christ's gift to the church, assuring that his ministry continues among us. Through ordination, God provides for acts of care and compassion in the world, for the ordering and governance of the church, and for the preaching of the word and celebration of the sacraments. Representing the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the session of First Presbyterian Church now ordains Sherry Plunkett and Linda Maureen to the ministry of elder and installs them and Donald Pollard and Bill Gile to active service as ruling elders. Similarly, the session now installs Gigi McLeod, Lynn Roman, Suzanne Yee, Sheila Warbassy, and Maria Carter to active service as deacons. Now I shall ask the questions for the elders and deacons. Friends, you have been chosen by the congregation to serve this congregation. I will ask you the constitutional questions as part of your ordination and or installation. Question number one. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior? Acknowledge him, Lord of all and head of the church, and through him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you? Question number two. Do you accept the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the church, universal, and God's word to you? Do you?
I do.
Question number three. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe, and do and will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you?
I do and I will.
Question number four. Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you?
I will.
Question number five. Will you be governed by our church's polity and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry? working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit. Will you?
I will.
Question number 6. Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you?
I will.
Question number 7. Do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? Do you? And question number 8, my favorite. Will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you?
I will.
I will now ask the question for the ruling elders. Sherry, Bill, Linda, and Donald, will you be a faithful elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you?
I will.
And now the questions for the deacons. Suzanne, Lynn, Sheila, Gigi, and, of course, Maria, will you be a faithful deacon, teaching, charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and to those in need? In your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? And now I ask the questions of the congregation. Do we, the members of First Presbyterian, accept these people as ruling elders and deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation, and lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? If so, please answer, we do. Do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? If so, please say we do. I shall now offer the prayer of ordination with laying on of hands. I invite Sherry and Linda as elders. Please kneel here on the steps. All who have been ordained as an elder or a pastor in the Presbyterian Church are invited to come forward for the laying on of hands of Sherry and Linda. Gracious and eternal God, with joy we give you thanks and praise. Throughout the ages and in every place, you have chosen servants from among your people to point the way to salvation by your grace. Gracious God, pour out your spirit upon your servants, Sherry and Linda, whom you called by baptism as your own. Grant them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Give them a spirit of truthfulness, that they may show the compassion of Christ in the actions of daily living and rightly govern your people. Gracious God, pour out your spirit of power and truth upon the whole church, that we may be for you a holy people, baptized to serve you in the world. Sustain your church in ministry. Ground us in the gospel. Secure our hope in Christ. Strengthen our service to the outcast and increase our love for one another. Show us the transforming power of your grace in our life together, that we may be effective servants of the gospel, offering a compelling witness in the world to the good news of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
and I invite Sherry and Linda to please stand. We welcome our new elders and deacons to service. Congratulations, and may God's blessing be upon you in your ministry. I invite everyone in the congregation to extend your best wishes to these newly ordained elders and installed deacons and elders at Coffee Fellowship following worship. Congratulations to everyone.
So it was a serendipity in a way that I realized I could turn over the leading of the ordination and installation of officers, because our book of order is very clear. It is not the pastor who ordains and installs our officers. It is the session that does it. So that's why having Faye do it as clerk is probably closer to what our polity would recognize anyway. So just so you know. And thank you, Faye, for taking on an additional role. We have a few prayer requests this week that are important to note. Many of you may have heard Al and Dolores McLeod were in a bad traffic accident, a car accident, on Wednesday. And Dolores is still in the hospital. She's had to have surgery on her leg. Their car was totaled. Dolores particularly is facing a long recovery. Al seems relatively uninjured, which is great news. But we want to hold them in prayer today. We want to hold Maria Carter in prayer. Chris, who is her husband, died suddenly in Mexico, so she had to dash down and handle arrangements down there. And so, of course, for her and for the children, there's a lot of emotions going on there. So we pray for them. And we want to pray for Carly Horobin, who was a WOW participant for many years here. Her mother, Janet, recently passed away. Carly's now in college, and she's been very involved in Westminster Woods, our Presbyterian camp. And so we want to hold her in prayer. And so particularly with Carly, we are hoping that there will be an opportunity for us to host some kind of memorial service for Janet in the new year when the timing works better. So we hold all of those people in prayer today. There's a response I want you to say as we do our prayer today. I'm going to say, "Your kingdom come," and your response will be, "Your will be done." Let us pray. Lord, we wait with eager expectation for the coming of your kingdom, when the humble will be exalted and the hungry fed. Your kingdom come. Lord, we prepare for your advent with searching minds and contrite hearts, trusting in your healing spirit and redemptive love. Your kingdom come. Lord, we watch for those who wait and weep, longing to see the rule of justice and the reign of peace. Your kingdom come. Lord, we seek you among the despised and rejected, knowing that there we will find your light shining in the dark. Your kingdom come. Lord, we proclaim sight to the blind and liberty to the oppressed, trusting in your tender mercy and passion for justice. Your kingdom come. Lord, we work with others to proclaim your truth, challenging the mighty and raising the meek. Your kingdom come. Lord, we pray for those who are in need of your healing and compassionate touch. Be with Al and Dolores as they seek to recover from this surgery, and particularly Dolores as she is in need of your healing prayers and in the coming weeks. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray for the family of Chris Carter as they cope with his unexpected death. We pray for the entire Carter family at this time. We also pray for the family of Janet Horobin, and for especially for Carly, who is a young adult, and this is a lot to handle. May we be there for her in the coming weeks as she seeks to come to terms with this loss and help her through everything that needs to happen. Lord, your kingdom come. And so, Lord, as we wrestle with our hopes and our fears, our struggles and our joys, laboring with creation to come to new birth, your kingdom come. And hearing the echo of this phrase in the Lord's Prayer, we now pray that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, friends, I invite you to stand as you wish for our closing hymn, number 31, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So friends, go with the deep peace of the Son of Peace, which is quick as the wave, pervasive as the air, quiet as the earth, and shining like a star. Deep peace of the Son of Peace to you all. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace.